You're listening to an audio podcast from Cherish Women's Ministry. To find out more about our yearly conference, go to thecherishconference.com.
Should we go back to disappointments? Not enough time or tissues to go through mine. And we like to talk about the wins, and we like to hashtag blessed when things happen the way we want it, and hashtag God is faithful. But when things don't turn out the way that we've been dreaming of, the marriage didn't work out, the marriage didn't come, the baby didn't happen, the loved one didn't live. What do we do with those things? I mean, I know for as many women who are here, there's all different scenarios. The job you thought you were going to get, the promotion that you were unjustly denied. I mean, the abuse that you went through. I mean, there is just things that can, I'm talking about in the faith, once we're Christians. And I believe today God wants to give us a key. He wants to equip us how to deal with this thing called disappointment. Because I've seen it totally shipwreck people. There are friends who are walking with the Lord that I personally know who are no longer because of disappointment. Ones whose own children weren't healed. Ones, the bankruptcy, the loss of the home. You know, the why God, and sometimes we can give pat answers. Well, all things work together for good. And you know what? Yes, they do. I'm not denying the truth of that promise, but sometimes it's a process. And I feel the Lord saying to me that us as spirit-filled, faith-filled, believing women, we need to come to terms with this thing called disappointment. And I see Daniel as an incredible case study. Incredible, because, I mean, anything I've gone through, I've got to be honest, doesn't compare with this. Wrenched as a 15-year-old. From his mother, his father. No evidence that they were ever reunited. No evidence that he ever went back to Jerusalem. In fact, some commentators will say that if you were serving under the king of Babylon, that you were actually made a eunuch. And so you would think, oh my gosh. I mean, the mere thought is horrendous of what Daniel may have gone through. And yet he maintained his faith, but he did something very powerful, which I believe is a key for us tonight. Because he opens the window. He faces the desolation of Jerusalem and prays. And so what is your Jerusalem tonight? Where is the thing? For someone here tonight, you're literally stuck. And it's like that thing, you just can't get past it. And you look at the happy families and you look at the hashtag blessed and you think, well, does that mean I'm cursed? Because your family is far from happy? And your children have gone, hey, well, maybe, like me, you didn't get the opportunity to have a family of your own. You know, I mean, I don't know you personally. I don't know what your story is. But I believe that we can do a Daniel. Open the window and face our Jerusalem. Personally, I don't want to face Jerusalem. I want to hide under the bed cover. I don't want to look at that thing. And this thing, thank you, Cadian. God bless you. This thing called denial. Denial is not equivalent to faith. And denial will cause you to get stuck. And sometimes we process this stuff just privately. I'm only just going through the process of talking to someone about stuff that I went through 12, 15 years ago, processing it because I just stuffed it down and got on with the business of serving God and looking happy whilst on the inside, being incredibly compromised, feeling like two people, getting up as a faith minister, prophesying only to have had my own prophecies not come to pass. 1 Corinthians 13 says prophecies will fail, but love never fails. And there comes a time if the prophecy fails that we shift our faith to the God of love. The God of the word even more than the words of God. I'm not talking about the word of God. I'm not talking about the logos. I'm talking about those prophetic words, whether that be a rhema. I have walked through those experiences and I feel almost, I feel like, oh, gee, it's so hard for me as a prophet and a faith preacher to actually say that. But I am discovering that there is so much pent up grief and so much confusion in people's hearts. And there are women here tonight and you think God loves everyone but you because other people's promises have come to pass and not yours. Just maybe you're not hearing about the things that they've gone through. I cannot imagine that Daniel had envisaged this as his life. So he opens the window. He looks towards Jerusalem. And he does something powerful. He faces Jerusalem, but then he prays. So you face Jerusalem, but you look to God. I'm not talking about dredging up stuff tonight that's already resolved. I'm not talking about going back and digging up things that are well dealt with and resolved. I'm talking to you tonight who have an area that is unresolved. And God is going to bring resolution. By the power of God, there is going to be a peace that will come. There is going to be a peace that surpasses all understanding coming into your heart tonight. And so, you're there at the window. Some of you tonight, girls, you need to open the window. You shut that thing up. You closed it off. You've dealt with it the best that you can. But some things are just so, so overwhelming and so hard. Push it away, especially if we feel shame. Must have been me if a prophecy doesn't come to pass. Gosh, and I got it more than once. Must have been something I did wrong. And so we don't talk about it. We don't bring it out into the light. But as you open the window, you let the light in. You open the window, let the light in. Face Jerusalem, look to God with something else that he did. Very powerful. Says he gave thanks. He gave thanks. Thanksgiving will get you unstuck. Thanksgiving is a spiritual force. Thanksgiving is more than words. And even as you give thanks through gritted teeth, even though you weep bitter tears of confusion, even though it doesn't make sense, as you give thanks, something happens. Something happens. Because this is what happened. I'm going to whack a lozenge in my mouth. Is that okay? It's a little bit dry. This is what happened to Daniel. At the end of the day, in spite of everything that he went through, Daniel 6:28 says this. So this Daniel prospered. This Daniel, you're talking about the Daniel who got kidnapped from his home and his family, never returned. You're talking about this Daniel who had to serve an ungodly king. You're talking about this Daniel who went through all the pain of persecution. If you read his story, it is mind-blowing. The word of God says, but this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. I love that because it actually says that in spite of the evil ruling in the day, he prospered. What does prosper mean in this verse? It means to advance. It means to accomplish anything prosperously. It means to have success, be successful. But this is my favorite. It means to cause to go on well. To cause to go on well. Could it be that even though your Jerusalem is in ruins, that God can cause you to go on well? Could it it be that even you've been through the pain and disappointment and heartache of your promise reversing, taking 180 to return and walking out the door? Could it be that you will prosper? I prophesy tonight that this Daniel will prosper. This Daniel will prosper. Whatever it is, sweetheart, that you have gone through. Yeah, the word of the Lord is you shall prosper. You shall prosper. You might have a story that will curl my hair, but you shall prosper. In Jesus' name. I'd love the worship team to return, please. He was blessed. He had a powerful life. His relationship with God wasn't compromised. I tell you what, people spit the dummy, throw away the bat and ball, say they're not playing no more for a lot less than this. He maintained his faith in God. And what's more, his voice continues today. A few thousand years later, his voice continues today. So girls, this isn't about self-pity. It's not about reliving pain and anguish you may want to forget. But can I tell you, if that thing has caused you to get stuck, and if you still have that area of mistrust, God, how can I fully trust you? I tell you what, there were ones here tonight, and there is an area of mistrust in your heart because of the stuff that you went through. Mistrust, Lord, how could you, honestly, you love me and you let that happen? A loved one dying prematurely, going through the pain of miscarriages, maybe totally misunderstood and your reputation absolutely ripped to shreds. And it wasn't your fault. You did nothing to deserve it. The house you lost, the job you didn't get, the bankruptcy. I don't know what it is for you tonight. But I believe on the authority of God's word that you can prosper if we open the window, face our Jerusalem, pray to God and give thanks. I don't know you all here tonight. I don't know what your relationship is like with the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to assume because you're sitting here in a church service that you are actually a Christian, that you know what it is to be born again. You might believe in Jesus. You might consider yourself a Christian. You would declare to be a Christian. But have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Have you asked him into your heart? Have you experienced the supernatural power of being relocated from death to life, from darkness to light? There's some of you here and you've never done that before. And I would love to give you an opportunity because you have a Jerusalem that is in ruins. There is someone here tonight and you have come specifically because you're looking for answers. You need help, sweetheart. You've come because maybe this church can help me. And be very remiss of me not to give you an opportunity to connect. Connect with Jesus tonight. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. But I'm sensing as well, there are some of you, and you know what I'm talking about. You've prayed the sinner's prayer. You've received the Lord Jesus and you come to church. You're faithful to church. But there's mistrust has crept in. There's no longer that same intimacy you used to have with the Lord. In fact, it's something of a working relationship maybe. You know, because of those things, it didn't happen the way you expected. And now he's no longer in the driver's seat of your life. He's not there right beside you. You kind of put him in the trunk of the car, you know, just. I believe tonight there are women here and God is drawing you to come back, to come back. Yes, you still might have questions. Yes, you still might have huge, huge pain and confusion. But God, why did it happen like that? I'm telling you what, I've got a list as long as my arm. But I've learned that to stay stuck there doesn't do me any good, doesn't do anyone else any good, and there is a way out. There is a way out, no matter what has happened.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.